This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 25th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. And as it's Friday, we'll be looking ahead to what's on at the cinema. And joining me in studio is film critic Anna Smith. Up for discussion today, we have the relationship between James Dean and his photographer, Dennis Stock, in Life. We'll delve into the murky world of dodgy real estate deals in new thriller 99 Homes. And finally, we'll talk about Miss You Already, starring Drew Barrymore and Toni Collette. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to the show, Anna. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about Life. Initially, the idea behind this was to make a movie about James Dean, but whilst doing his research, I gather the scriptwriter found that the photographer Dennis Stock, who took the famous photograph of Dean on Times Square, was the most interesting part of the story. So to start with, maybe set up the iconic photography at the heart of this film.
Well, it's the pictures that we all know and recognise, of course. You know, him walking down Times Square with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. It looks very cold, kind of hunched up, that slightly rebellious, I don't care who's looking at me, I'm just forging my own path kind of look. And it's fascinating to hear the story behind those pictures. And in such a world that was so different to today, in 1955, you know, a freelance photographer to sort of go up to a budding starlet at a party and strike a conversation, and a sort of awkward friendship ensued between the two characters, who are played by Robert Pattinson, who is playing the photographer, and then Dane DeHaan playing James Dean. And so two hot young actors in their own right now playing these characters, where they just sort of muddled along and took some pictures. And it's interesting to think about how those pictures actually may have helped Dean become as famous as he was.
Well, we're going to hear a clip from the movie now.
There's this kid, I think he might be starting something special, and I want to get an early
photo essay on an unknown actor.
He won't be unknown for long.
Tell me what his name is.
His name's James Dean.
I'm Jimmy.
What is it that you see?
As an awkwardness, something very pure.
Hey, Dennis.
Are we going to take some great photos or what?
Are you going to make me famous?
I guarantee it.
A clip from the movie Life. Now, playing someone as iconic as James Dean is very daunting. Who is the actor and how does he do?
Well, as you say, very, very difficult shoes to fill. Dane DeHaan plays him. I don't know if you saw the film Kill Your Darlings, mm-hmm. about Allen Ginsberg. He was very good in that. He's a strong young actor. He doesn't really look particularly like James Dean, but the makeup is done well, and he's done the voice well. He's raised his voice. At points, you forget that it's Dane DeHaan and you do feel like you're watching James Dean. But it's always a problem with films like this. I think My Week with Marilyn had that, mm-hmm. as well. However good Michelle Williams was, she wasn't Marilyn. And watching it, you are very conscious of the fact that, you know, this is an actor playing James Dean. But, you know, he is one to watch. He's a terrific actor and he does a good job as much as he can.
It's fascinating seeing this story told by or through the eyes and a way of the photographer and the photographer's story. Does it bring any new light to that period in Jimmy Dean's life?
I think the snag is not tremendously. I was a little bit disappointed because I wanted to find out more about James Dean. There were little hints of it here and there. And to me, the most fun parts perhaps were the kind of most salacious parts where he's out dancing and drinking with Eartha Kitt, you know, and you see it in insight into his love life and into his psyche, I suppose. But generally, his dealings with a photographer are limited and they're more from the point of view of Robert Pattinson's character. So I'm not quite sure if I agree with the filmmakers when they felt that this was the most interesting side of the story.
Tell us about the director.
Well, Anton Corbijn, who did Control famously, and he also did A Most Wanted Man, a tremendous filmmaker. I think he's you know, very, very talented, and he's got a background in music, worked with U2 extensively. So he's got a great sense of style. I mean, that's probably one of the strongest parts of this film, is the visual side. Incredibly stylish, gorgeous looking film. My feeling is this isn't his finest work. I think it's an interesting film to start with, and then you start thinking, okay, where is this going? Well, you kind of know know how it's going to end. And the dynamic between the two men isn't really strong enough to sustain the tension. I found my mind wandering, much as I was initially interested.
Well, Life is out today in the UK, Ireland and Turkey, and will roll out in other international cinemas throughout the year. Now, let's move on to the new thriller, 99 Homes. This follows the story of Dennis Nash, a young single father played by Andrew Garfield. One day, he, his mother and his son are turfed out of their home. And the only way he can get the house back is by working for the ruthless businessman who kicked him out in the first place, Rick Carver. Slowly, Nash becomes entwined in Carver's murky world and his situation grows increasingly dangerous. Now, first, before we delve more into the film, what does the title 99 Homes refer to, do you think?
Well, it's a challenge that is set from the ruthless real estate agent to his young charge. In order to get his home back, he must then procure 99 for him, or 100. But to say much more would be to give too much more away. But it's to do with a challenge and, quite a difficult one, as you can imagine.
Well, let's hear a clip from the movie.
You kicked me out yesterday.
I didn't kick you out. The bank did. Did you do construction? I'll pay $50 cash.
Are you kidding me?
$50 shouldn't be a joke to you, son.
What are you doing with him?
I gotta work, you know?
Because I want my home back.
Don't get emotional about real estate.
That's my family home.
If you want it.
I need to know that I have someone who can handle any situation 24/7.
Are you putting notices on my window?
When you work for me, you're mine.
This is serious money.
Do you want to double what he made?
Are we stealing? Is this stealing? Feels a bit like trouble.
What'd you think it was going to mean working for me?
A clip of 99 Homes. Now, the film is set in 2010 at the height of the foreclosure crisis, and I gather it covers more the personal aspects of America's toxic loan slump. Is this an uncomfortable film to watch?
It is, but a powerful one. I thoroughly recommend this film. It is uncomfortable, but you feel like you should be watching it. It's very much based in reality, however melodramatic it is, as you suggest. You know, it is inspired by true events. I believe that the director went and witnessed evictions. You follow very much the young families as they are being turfed out of their homes unceremoniously with 5 minutes to gather their belongings. There's a sense of the great sense of confusion about what was going on here. You know, people thought they had more time to pay it off. They'd been told not to pay it off by one party, and you know, all this confusion, it sort of comes across in the film. So you're with them on the edge of your seats thinking, what's going on? You know, why are they being turfed out? And then gradually, you know, the bigger picture emerges as you see Michael Shannon's character, this ruthless real estate agent. And may I say, the performances are absolutely fantastic as well.
Well, you know, when you read about this in the newspapers, the tragedy really doesn't come out. But in film, I think, you know, you can really get a sense of that. And maybe in the hands of a different filmmaker, it could have been sentimental. How does who's the filmmaker and
filmmaker's
what's his background?
Called Ramin Barani. He did Man Push Cart, which was critically acclaimed film, and a film that's coming out called At Any Price. He seems very interested in modern America and the issues that are covered here, and a sense of injustice, you know, social injustice. So yeah, you can tell that he feels very, very passionately about this subject matter, and you do as you're watching it. It's absolutely heartbreaking, you know, to see these things happening. It really is.
You touch on the casting. Who are the lead players?
Well, Andrew Garfield, who we've most recently seen in Spider-Man, but let's not forget, you know, is also a very, you know, well-known actor in the UK and a serious actor. And I just think this is one of his best roles yet. He suddenly transforms into this young American guy in Florida. You never remember that he's the kind of Jewish guy in North London. So he's amazing. And Michael Shannon, again, who is, I think, one of America's greatest kind of character actors, really encompasses this
evil character.
Certain evil, but, you know, with a glimmer of kind of guilt about him. You know, this is a bit of a Wall Street feel to it, you know.
And a cameo from Laura Dern?
Laura Dern, amazing, always doing that kind of hand-wringing thing. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but she has a real ability to elicit sympathy, I think, and to show great emotion on her face. And of course, there's a great deal going on for her character as his mother.
This film was premiered at the Venice Film Festival. How was it received by the critics?
Generally well received. I think it's, you know, it's very high rating on the aggregator sites. I mean, it's one that I would have expected to show up at the Oscars, but it doesn't seem to be being particularly positioned around for that, because it's quite early still for an Oscar film to be coming out around now. So I'm not quite sure what's happening with that, because it's had good reviews and I think Oscar-worthy performances.
Well, 99 Homes is out in American and British cinemas today and will hit screens in Denmark and Greece in November. And finally, Anna, let's talk about Miss You Already, which tells the tale of Millie and Jess, played by Toni Collette and Drew Barrymore, respectively, whose friendships are put to the test as Millie is diagnosed with cancer while Jess discovers she's pregnant. Now, the title of this film, Miss You Already, doesn't do it any favours. It just sounds like a very over-sentimentalised weepy. What did you make of the film?
In many ways, it is an over-sentimentalised weepy, I have to say. And I say that with a slightly heavy heart because, you know, I love the cast. I like the writer, Morwenna Banks. It's Catherine Hardwicke. It's, you know, all-female crew in many ways, the central crew. And it deals with a very important topic, which is breast cancer. However, yes, it is told in a sentimental way, I'm afraid. And this is the kind of London which I don't recognise, you know, the one you see in the American films like The Holiday, where everyone lives in these impossible places and totters around in huge glamorous heels. And I just didn't, much as I love Toni Collette and Drew Barrymore, I didn't find them a convincing friendship pairing. They didn't seem to rub along together quite well enough. It's the kind of female friendship that you read about in chick lit rather than you experience in real life.
Well, let's have a listen to a clip of the film Miss You Already.
I have to have chemotherapy, like, straight away. I'm going to be bald.
Oh, lots of people are bald.
Oh, men are bald, Jess. Babies, E.T., not me. It might take my tits away.
They haven't said that yet.
Not for sure.
Well, how could the tumour have gotten so big?
Because it's aggressive, like you, Jesus.
A clip from Miss You Already, starring Toni Collette and Drew Barrymore. What do you think the idea behind making this film was? Who is it for? Why did they feel it was important to turn it into a drama for the cinema?
Well, I think it is a personal project. Morwenna Banks has come from a very personal place and you can tell that she's passionate about it. In terms of the market, I'm thinking they're looking at the sort of close girlfriends going out for a night to sort of hold hands and have a little weep, you know, the kind of British beaches idea. And, you know, maybe there is a bit of a market for that because we haven't had anything like that for a while, particularly for a slightly older group rather than the much younger, sort of the tween generation. And this might appeal to, you know, women in their 20s and 30s and possibly older. I mean, yes, and on a very basic level, it ticks the boxes. You know, I laughed at moments. I did feel moved at the end, but I felt it could have been done better.
You say you laughed, and I suppose it's an unexpected topic to be laughing at. But how does the comedy work into the film?
Well, it's very much a comedy drama, so the sort of cancer subject is only one part of it. It's very much about the girls' relationships with each other and with their respective partners as well, and, you know, how affairs happen, things go on. So it's a little bit of a soapy aspect there, and there's plenty of levity. You know, there's moments where you're certainly allowed to have a giggle and the girls go out on the razz.
Directed by a female director.
Yes, Catherine Hardwicke, who did Twilight. And it's great to see her working again, because it's sort of controversial. She wasn't given the subsequent Twilight films. They were given to men after the first one was successful. So it's always interested me to see what she does. It's perfectly competent film. I wish I could say I liked it more.
And what about the director in terms of the script she was given? Do you think she's handled it well?
I think perfectly fine, but it looks glossy. It looks fun. I feel the pacing, the editing's a bit off. The points where you felt that they were dragging on certain storylines or not going into others. You know, the male characters. This is an unusual criticism to make, but the male characters are underwritten here. This is all about the girls, so maybe that a bit more exposure from them could have been interesting.
Miss You Already is out today in the UK and Ireland and hits American cinemas on November 6th. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Anna Smith, thanks very much for joining me in studio as always. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday when we'll be talking about art. But for now, thanks very much for listening.